Thanks for tuning into the Marlon Benjamin podcast. We believe that God is raising up a generation that's equipped to demonstrate his power to a lost world. And we're determined to be a part of that generation. Now, here's your host, Evangelist Marlon Benjamin.
All right, we got to talk about demon-possessed Christians. Can a Christian truly be demon-possessed? Can light cohabitate with darkness? Is the devil waiting on your back doorstep getting ready to take you over? Or is he getting ready to kill you in your sleep? We got to answer all these questions. What's up, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, we're dealing with the age-old question of, can a Christian be demon-possessed? I personally have no idea why this is even a debate, but I've heard it for many years here and there, and it honestly just baffles me to the core. I mean, it baffles me like to the inside, deep down inside my soul. When I hear people say that Christians can be demon-possessed and warn Christians of the possibility of getting possessed by a demon. Now, anybody who has ever listened to one of these podcasts before or has ever heard me preach live knows that one of the subjects that I deal with a lot, and sometimes unintentionally, is the authority of the believer over demonic power. And there is a reason for that. Because I think one of the subjects that I feel like every believer, or at least every new believer, should learn once they get saved is that subject. Because once you understand as a believer your authority in Christ and your identity in Christ, there are a lot of things that you will stop putting up with. There are a lot of things that you won't write off as normal, but you'll understand that they're attacks of the enemy and you'll stand against them and not let them have any place in your life. When you understand your authority in Christ, you won't put up with sickness and disease. You won't put up with chronic illness. You won't put up with attacks of the enemy in your mind. You won't put up with depression, anxiety, and all those things that the world calls normal. When you're a believer and you understand that God has given you authority over all those things, you will resist them. And Jesus didn't just give that authority to some believers or to his disciples or to the select few or the chosen ones. He gave them to all believers. And on top of that, he didn't just give them authority over some demonic powers. He didn't say, all right, you can have authority over sickness, but you can't have authority over depression. You can have authority over cancer, but, you know, diabetes, you just have to live with that one. No, he gave you power over all the works of the enemy, Luke 10:19. So if he has given that authority to believers, where's there room for a believer to get demon possessed? That's the first question I just want to ask. If the believer has authority over all demonic powers and all the works of the devil, where is there room for the enemy to overtake a believer and possess it? Let's look at it like this. You cannot subdue somebody that you're weaker than. Let me say that again. You can't subdue somebody that you are weaker than. If I got into it with, let's say, a sumo wrestler, and my 150-pound self, tall, sticks, skin, and bones, if I got into it with a sumo wrestler, who would win? If anybody said Marlon would subdue the sumo wrestler, thank you very much for your support in me. God bless you. May God send millions of dollars your way. But as much as I would like to think that I could take down a sumo wrestler no problem, I couldn't. Because that sumo wrestler is stronger than me. And that's the same way it is in the spiritual realm. The devil is not allowed and has no authority to overtake a believer and cause a believer to live under his control because he's not stronger than them. The devil, if you're a believer, the devil is not stronger than you. And I know the world and modern day preaching tells you that, you know, we just have to cope with certain things that are attacks of the enemy. And they make it seem like the devil is stronger than he is. Even many Pentecostals make the devil seem stronger than he actually is. You better watch out, you know, because the devil's lurking around the corner. You know, we're in here, you know when you used to go to church. And you would be in like a hot Holy Ghost service. And as the service winds down, the preacher says, "Oh, well, you know, we had a good time in here tonight, praise God. But, you know, the devil is waiting outside. You know, he's waiting outside in that world again." Making it seem like the devil has more power than he does. And the devil's lurking around the corner, getting ready to take you over when you leave church. But when you're in church, you're protected. But when you go in the world, you're not protected. The devil's going to kill you in your sleep. You ain't got nothing over him. That's not how it is. And I don't know who made believers think that the devil is this all-powerful being still. He has power and he has a lot of it, but not over the believer. That's the thing you have to understand. If you have been saved and you believe in Jesus Christ and you've been truly converted and you're following him, the devil has no authority over you. The reason why the devil comes in and attacks believers is either because they're ignorant of the power they have or they don't put it into practice. Some people sadly have been so dumbed down by unbiblical teaching that they actually believe that they don't have any line of defense against the enemy. And some people just do not believe it because it's just an asinine concept for them to have authority than the all-powerful devil. It's just over their head and it's something they can't fathom that they have more power than this all-powerful spiritual being called Satan. And that's not true. That's why a lot of believers open up the door to getting attacked by the enemy. But I believe that's not you and that's not me. So if that is not you, then the devil has no jurisdiction over your body. He doesn't have any power to overtake your body. As a matter of fact, the Bible said, I think it's 1 Corinthians 6. It says there that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives within you. And you're not your own, but you're bought with a price. So therefore, you should glorify God with your bodies that are his. So as a believer, you're not your own, but God bought you with a price. And the Holy Spirit lives in you, and now therefore you're a temple of the Holy Spirit. So if the Holy Spirit lives in you and God has ownership of you as a believer, therefore, for the enemy to come in and possess you, he would have to kick God out of your body, kick the Holy Ghost out of your body and overtake it. That's like somebody walking up in your house that you pay the land tax on, that you pay the mortgage on, that you pay utilities on, and walking up in there and kicking you out. Nobody legally can do that because it's not their house. The only way that can happen is if the house owner decides to sell the house. Meaning the only way you can open up yourself to being attacked by the enemy or possessed by the enemy is if you kick the Holy Ghost out of your house and open up yourself for the enemy to come in. Other than that, the devil cannot kick God out of that house. Because the devil ain't the homeowner. When you were unsaved, when you were an unbeliever, the devil had all opportunity to do whatever he wanted with you because you belonged to him. But once you got saved, the devil lost ownership of you. This is why the enemy fights the preaching of the gospel so hard. This is why the enemy does not want the gospel to continue to spread throughout the earth. And anybody who devotes their life to spreading the gospel, the enemy has a problem with it. That's why the enemy comes against preachers. That's why Christianity is so attacked in the world today. That's why Christianity is punishable by death in many countries on the east side of the world. That's why the devil hates financial prosperity, because all that contributes into spreading the gospel. And the devil knows that if people hear the gospel and people get saved and come into the kingdom of God, he loses ownership of them. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and watch what Paul says in verse 1. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 1. He says, "Therefore, since God in his mercy has given us this new way, we never give up. We reject all shameful deeds and underhanded methods. We don't try to trick anyone or distort the word of God. We tell the truth before God, and all who are honest know this." Verse 3. "If the good news we preach is hidden behind a veil, it is only hidden from those who are perishing. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of them who don't believe. They're unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. So watch what he said in verse 3 and 4. He said, if the gospel is hidden, it's only hidden from the ones who are perishing. Why? Because Satan, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They can't see the glorious light of the good news. So right now, people who don't believe, unbelievers, the unsaved world, are blinded to the truth by Satan. They can't see the way we see. That's why it's very stupid to debate unsaved people to see your way of thinking as a believer, because their minds are blinded by Satan. They can't see the way you do because they're blind. The only way that they can see is when that light of the gospel shines into them. That's why the gospel cannot be hidden. That's why, especially in this last day, you can't get people saved and truly bring them into the kingdom of God without the preaching of the gospel. Because that's what shines the light into the hearts of men and takes the blinders off of their eyes. Go down to verse 5 and watch what he said. So Paul said that Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers and they can't see the light. Verse 5, he said, you see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. We preach that Jesus Christ is Lord, and we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. Watch what he says in verse 6. For God, who said, let there be light in darkness, has made this light shine in our hearts so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ. So when that light shines into the hearts of unbelievers, it pulls the darkness off of their eyes, it pulls the blinders off of their eyes, and now they can finally see. And now they're not blinded to the truth. They can see the truth and now they can accept it. It's like if you walked into a dark room with a bunch of stuff in there, you wouldn't be able to tell anybody what's in there because it's dark and you can't see. The only way you can see is when the lights gets turned on. And as long as the lights are turned out, the devil continues to hold ownership over unbelievers. He continues to do whatever he wants with them and be able to use them as a pawn in his hand. But the minute the light gets turned on and people see the error of their ways and they see that they're sinful man in need of a savior and they turn to Christ, instantly the devil loses ownership of them. That's why the devil doesn't want the gospel to spread. If the enemy was able to still get an inroad into the life of a believer and control them after they were saved, then he would not fight the gospel nearly as hard as he does. But because he loses complete ownership of people once they get saved, he makes sure he uses every one of his weapons and everything in his arsenal to stop the gospel from spreading. And that's what you need to understand today, that if you're a believer, you are owned by God. You're not even your own. You're not even owned by yourself. You're owned by God because he bought you. Paul said that he's a slave to Christ. He's a bondservant to Christ. You're not owned by yourself, and you're definitely not owned by the devil. So if you're owned by God, you follow his commands. You do what he tells you to do. You follow in the path that he set for you. You can't even set your own path. You hear people saying, I run my own life. I can do whatever I want. If you're a Christian, you cannot truly do whatever you want. Because when you came into the kingdom of God, here's the thing too. God did not forcefully pull you into his kingdom. God did not take you by the shirt and say, hey, you're coming to be a part of my kingdom. He didn't drag you by the neck, put you in a chokehold and throw you over his shoulder and say, you're coming to be my son and I couldn't care less what you think. He didn't do that. You decided to follow Jesus. You decided that I was going to throw off the sinful weights off of my life. I was going to throw away my old life and live the way God wants me to live. And therefore, now you put yourself into the ownership of Christ. So now you do what he tells you to do. And thank God that Jesus is not a taskmaster. Thank God that he's not some slave master. It's a joyous thing to put yourself in the ownership of Christ. It's a good thing to put yourself under the authority of Christ and follow him and do what he tells you to do. It's not a bad thing. It's not like slavery as we know it. It's a good thing. But since you're under his ownership, nobody else can own you. God can't own you while the devil owns you at the same time. And anybody who believes that a born-again Christian can be demon-possessed believes that God and the devil can cohabitate in the same place. And that's not true, because light and darkness cannot habitate in the same place. You've never seen a dark room when the light turns on. You see pockets of light and pockets of darkness at the same time, given that there's no corners being blocked by anything. But in a room, when you turn on the light, the room gets lit up. There's no fight. You don't turn on the light and it takes 5 minutes for the room to light up because darkness don't want to leave. When the light turns on, darkness has to go. So how could the devil and God cohabitate at the same house at the same time? It doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. And that's another reason why Christians can't be demon possessed, because light and darkness cannot exist in the same place. So when I hear people saying that, they don't understand that, number one, you are owned as a believer by God. You're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. And you're now under the ownership of Jesus Christ. And because he owns you, nobody can oust him out of his own house. Because he owns you, the only person that could kick him out of his house is somebody stronger than him. If you remember the story in Matthew 12, when the Pharisees came against Jesus and said he was empowered by Satan, and the only reason why he could cast out devils was because he was empowered by Satan. And Jesus went into this whole dissertation talking about how a kingdom divided against itself can't stand. And he talked about the sin of blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But he said something in there. Actually, it was in Luke, in the version of it in Luke. He said that you can't come into a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless you're stronger than him. The only person that could come and plunder the goods of a strong man is somebody stronger than him, who comes and binds him up and then takes all his possessions. The devil is not stronger than Jesus Christ. All right? The devil does not have more power than Jesus Christ. So if he can live in the same house as Christ, he had to have come in, bind up Jesus, bind up the Holy Spirit that's living in you, and throw him out, number one. Or number two, bind him up and sit there and he can't do anything to kick him out. That is the most asinine thing that I have ever heard in my life. Marlon, it's not that serious. That's not what they're trying to say. No, that's what you're saying. If you believe that a Christian can be demon possessed, that's exactly what you're saying. You're either saying that God and the devil can come to an agreement and cohabitate, or that the devil has more power than God and he can bind him up and throw him out of his own house. It doesn't work like that. And this is just scratching the surface of why a Christian cannot be demon possessed. And I've split this up into parts because I'm not going to make this podcast 3 hours long and have people sit through hearing my voice for 3 hours straight. Even though, what a joyous occasion that would be to just listen to me talk to you for 3 hours straight. I mean, I ain't complaining about that, and I actually think that's a good deal. But I split this up into parts because there are multiple reasons why a Christian can't be demon-possessed. And I don't want to give you information overload. So if you ever heard it taught or heard it preached that a Christian can be demon-possessed, and it put fear in your heart, and you're walking around wondering if you've been possessed by a demon, or you're wondering if you can be possessed by a demon, understand today that if you are a true believer in Christ and you have given your heart to the Lord, you are owned by him. You're under his ownership. Therefore, nobody else can own you at the same time. I read to you what Paul said. He said, you're not your own, but you have been bought with a price, and the Holy Spirit lives in you. So therefore, you should glorify God in your body. If you're owned by the Holy Spirit and he lives inside of you, you don't have to worry about the enemy coming and taking you over. As a matter of fact, since the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, you can carry power and authority over the enemy. And I want to clarify something too. I should have clarified this at the beginning. There's a difference between demonic possession and demonic oppression. Because some people are going to be like, well, you know, Marlon, I know so-and-so has been struggling with depression for how many years? I know so-and-so who has been sick for how many years? Just because you're a believer doesn't mean that the enemy can't oppress you. There are Christians who struggle with pornography addictions. There are Christians who struggle with alcohol addictions and can't seem to put it under. Paul wrote a letter. Look at the church at Corinth. They struggled with sexual immorality. Look at the seven churches. When John was sending letters to the seven churches, Jesus kept on saying, I know your works. You do this good, you do that good, but you have this issue. Six of the seven churches he said that to. And they struggled with a certain area of sin. The enemy can oppress a believer, which I like how I heard a preacher explain this. Oppression is external. It's almost like influence when the enemy is oppressing something. He's influencing you to walk into a sin or walk into a certain trap that will destroy your life. But the difference between oppression and possession is, while when he oppresses you, he's influencing you to do something, but you have the choice to say no. Because the Bible said, with every temptation, there comes a way of escape. So the devil will tempt you and try to tempt you to do something, but you don't have to give in to the temptation. That's oppression. But possession, you don't have a choice in the matter because the devil owns you. And if the devil wants you to do something, he will take you over and use your faculties to get that job done. That's the difference between possession and oppression. A Christian can be oppressed, but a Christian can definitely not be possessed. So if you've been scared of that and you've heard that teaching and it's confused you, understand today that if you're a believer, you carry authority over all the works of the enemy. Therefore, you don't have to worry about the devil possessing you. And as a matter of fact, if the devil has had a hold in your life or has had a hand in any area of your life and has oppressed you in a certain area, you carry the power to force him to take his hand off of that area too. You can live a life free from the power of the enemy. Because the Bible said in Romans 8 that because you now live in Christ, you have no obligation to follow your sinful desires. You have no obligation to follow your sinful nature because God has set you free from that sinful nature. That's the good news about it. And because you're owned by Christ, you don't have to be owned by anybody else. Because God owns you and the Holy Spirit lives inside of you, the devil doesn't stand a chance at owning you.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. To stay connected, follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and online at marlonbenjamin.net. If you would also like to support the podcast or stand with us as we begin to take the gospel to this generation, go to marlonbenjamin.net and click Give Now. God blesses those who support his kingdom, and we're believing that you won't be an exception.